Welcome to another fantastic episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com, and this week Fish Fry is headed into the land of programmable logic. There is all sorts of exciting business going on in FPGA land. Heck, it's good enough to keep a good news editor, well, busy. The FPGA market has definitely seen some big old rumblings in the past couple weeks. Last week, Altera announced their Gen 10 FPGAs. Those look awesome, but most of us will have to wait about a year to get our hands on one. So let's talk about something more current. This week, Microsemi rolled out their new Igloo 2 family, and I hear next week, Tabula is going to take over the world. Weird. No, wait, I made up that last one. But let's step in a little closer to that Microsemi announcement, shall we? Microsemi has always played in the small end of the FPGA pool, but now they're jumping into the mainstream with some much bigger devices. Let's chat with Paul Ekus, VP of Marketing at Microsemi, and get the skinny on this cool, get it, cool, new family of programmable logic devices. Hi, Paul. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Amelia. It's fun to be on Fish Fry.
So, Microsemi seems to be getting into the bigger FPGA market these days. What benefits does your flash-based technology bring to mainstream FPGAs?
Well, we're launching Igloo 2, and Igloo 2 is, as you said, flash-based FPGA. And that has some great benefits for lowering the total cost of ownership of the device. First of all, it doesn't require any external configuration. It's stored internally and it is instant on. So that lowers board cost and design complexity. It also only requires two power supplies versus three or more for competitive devices, again, lowering board cost and board complexity. With flash technology, we're able to integrate non-volatile memory so you can actually store additional information in the device. That also reduces external components. Now, the flash itself has some very significant benefits, which are the lowest leakage power versus SRAM devices, so lowest total power. It's SEU immune, so it's a zero-fit configuration fabric. It has instant-on technology instead of a long configuration time. So we combine a variety of benefits from the flash technology to have the lowest total cost of ownership FPGA.
So, Paul, how is this Igloo line different from the Smart Fusion 2 line you introduced last fall?
So in October when we launched Smart Fusion 2, that device includes an ARM M3 microcontroller. Many of the other aspects of the two device families are similar. And what we knew is that there's two types of end users at least. One wanted to have an integrated processor for their system. And then one set of customers for FPGAs just wants a great FPGA with no other processor in it. And so that's the major difference between them. If you want to have a microcontroller within your FPGA, use a Smart Fusion 2. If you want just a plain great FPGA that has the lowest total cost of ownership, target Igloo 2.
Okay, gotcha. So, Paul, tell me about this high-performance memory subsystem you've got.
Well, we did a very cool thing in Igloo 2. What we found with a lot of the standard FPGA designs is they were integrating a memory subsystem into their FPGAs. So they are controlling data movement in and out of memories, in and out of internal memories. What we did with a high-performance memory subsystem is we integrated a lot of technology around memories into hardened logic. So that increases the effective logic density and capability of Igloo 2. So what's that functionality? We have the internal embedded non-volatile memory. We have large embedded SRAMs, two blocks of 32 KB each. We have built-in DMA controllers, and we have links from that to external memory controllers so that we can automatically move with DMA engines data from external memory into the SRAMs and from the SRAMs into the FPGA fabric, so that we can do accelerated processing in the fabric working with this memory subsystem. We find it's a very convenient memory subsystem for customers, most FPGA applications. So we're very excited about that because it increases the effective capability and density of the device makes it easier to use, and has very low cost and power footprint.
Very cool. So, Paul, what kind of applications are you targeting with Igloo 2?
Well, we go after a variety of target markets. We have communications, industrial, military, avionics type applications, and within those we can target transceiver-based applications, data converter applications, signal processing applications, image and communications, system control. So we can hit a broad market with Igloo 2 that really is the major market opportunity within the 150,000 logic element and less FPGA space.
So, Paul, for my audience who want to get their hands on Igloo 2, when is it available?
It's available now. The first devices, the M2GL050, can be purchased through a variety of distribution channels, and additional device family members will be rolling out over the next 12 months. Design software is available now, can be downloaded, and documentation is available as well.
Fantastic. Well, I think that's all I have time for. Thank you so much for joining me today, Paul. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Well, thank you, Amelia, for letting me talk about Igloo 2. We're very excited about it.
All right, let's talk about your next FPGA design. What happens when one FPGA just isn't enough? What was that old marketing pitch? You can't design just one? No, wait. That was about potato chips and not chips. Isn't it? Anyway, in any multi-FPGA design with millions or even billions of gates, partitioning can be a problem. Well, that's where a company called FlexRus comes in. They can divide up your design nicely into FPGA size chunks. Let's talk with Haider Marbit, CEO of FlexRus, and see what FlexRus can do to help. Thank you so much for joining me today, Haider.
Thank you.
So first off, for my audience who doesn't know, what does FlexRus Technologies do?
Time-driven partitioning for FPGA-based prototyping and emulation.
Fantastic. Now, I heard that you've got some pretty exciting United States-related news. Tell me more about this.
Yeah, we have new agreements in U.S. for the first time. So this year, we had the first agreements with a semiconductor company in the United States.
Fantastic. And can you tell me any more details about this?
Let's say the FlexRus tools are used by 5 of the top 10 semiconductor company in U.S., and one FPGA vendor also.
You can't name names, can you, Haider?
No, unfortunately.
So tell me a little bit more about your FPGA partitioning. Let's go into more details about your tools ourselves.
So the idea is to give an easy path from semiconductor company that are developing system on chip to do rapid prototyping using multiple FPGA platforms. So the most challenge is the time to emulation or time to prototype. How many time we need to get a feasible solution onto the multiple FPGA platforms. This is the big challenge. Today, without automatic tools, we talk about weeks and months to have the first feasible solution on multiple FPGA platforms. And verification designer struggles with manual partitioning and manual work to run their system. What we are providing for them is an automatic partitioning tool that allows them to get a good solution and get this as fast as possible. So the first iteration to get a feasible solution using WASGA compiler partitioning tool is measured in hours or days compared to weeks and months of manual work.
Okay, Haider, how about an off-the-cuff question? What is your favorite food in the whole world? Mine might be escargot when I can afford it. What about you?
Since I'm Mediterranean, spaghetti is the best food for us.
Of course, I think my son would say the same. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me today, Haider. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
All right, we've talked about FPGA design tools. We've talked about the newest and flash-enhanced FPGAs. But what about you ASIC guys? I know you're out there, and I know you're listening. So, what if you're doing a mixed signal design? Maybe you thought about doing a custom chip, But you don't really want to find another place to work, since your average custom ASIC is going to cost your company at least 7 digits. Well, if this is the case for you, you may want to take a closer look at Triad Semiconductor. And in my newest episode of Chalk Talk HD, I'm doing just that. Reed Wender and I chat about how you can get the cost of your next mixed signal ASIC design down as much as 99%. Almost down to what you can scrounge between your couch cushions. Well, maybe if you had a really big couch. Or really big pockets. Anyway, you can check out how to save 99% on your next mixed signal ASIC design by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. And remember, if you haven't already, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/eejournal. Check out our tweets at eejournaltfm and join our circle on Google+. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fry page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, including a feature article written by EE Journal Editor-in-Chief Kevin Morris called Building a Better Igloo, Microsemi Goes Mainstream, and that 99% off your next mixed signal ASIC Chalk Talk I spoke of earlier, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. It's called Igloo 2 to YouTube. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, and bonus points if it's in Hawaii, or maybe the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@techfocusmedia.com or post a comment on our forums on eejournal.com. For the week of June 21st, 2013, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.